Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy, what if I be blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Narrow defeat on the Fylde Coast. Life is always more difficult when there's no G&T about. Welcome to Charlton Live. So, good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live. Coming to you live here from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me in the studio here in SU7 as we get ready to look back at yesterday's 1-0 defeat up at Fleetwood Town. Ah, starting off with Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Yeah, I'm good, mate.
Yeah, you had a good weekend?
Yeah, buzzing. Yeah. I'm trying to stay positive, mate.
Yeah, all right.
I'm trying my hardest.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, there's no room for that in this studio. Thanks, Nathan. And joining the pair of us is, as you can hear, chuckling away there, is Lewis Cat. How you doing, Lewis?
Oh, marvellous, mate. Yeah. Marvellous.
Did you had a good weekend as well?
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, I didn't go to Fleetwood, so... Yeah, it's all right.
That's the best way to go about it, really. It's just, if you just avoid the football, then you'll probably more enjoy your weekend than those of us who did go up there. And it was a long journey home after a 1-0 defeat. Chet Evans' goals sort of midway through that second half. Got the 3 points for Joey Barton's side, compounded, of course, by the sending off of Patrick Bauer late on. Disappointing day all round for the Addicts. Obviously, Carlin Grant no longer with us. Lyle Taylor still suspended. We looked a little bit toothless up front, which was a real shame. On tonight's show, we will hear the brief highlights of yesterday's game. We'll speak to, of course, the Addicts boss, Lee Bayer, his full post-match interview after the game yesterday. We'll hear that. We're also going to hear from new signing, Josh Parker. He obviously signed on transfer deadline day, and that is one of the topics we're going to be talking about tonight, is our January transfer window business altogether. On Thursday night's podcast, or when it was a live show, it's quite exciting actually, because we were just waiting.
If only we knew.
Yeah, we were waiting for someone to turn up and sign for us, but obviously that never materialised. But during the show, it's quite exciting. We had Richard Cawley from the South London Press on the phone. A couple of names were being bandied about. None of them signed. Josh Parker wasn't being his name wasn't being mentioned, but he did sign. So we'll hear from him. So basically, I think we're going to be talking about this a lot in the show this evening. Probably brush the actual game under the carpet as soon as possible. You know, we're going to analyse our January transfer window business. You know, I want to know, I've asked questions on Twitter throughout the last couple of days. I want to know if people think that after January we're now more likely or less likely, or is it the same, to get promoted this season? Obviously, with the players that have come in and out, Carlin Grant going out, the main one, Josh Parker coming in, the likes of Johnny Williams have come in as well, Ben Perrington and the goalkeeper as well. So let us know how you feel. Overall, are we improved? Are we the same? And if you want to, I mean, I sent a tweet out on Thursday night as soon as the window slammed shut, asking for people to rate our January transfer business out of 10 as well. So if you want to get involved with that, there's many ways you can do, and you can use this to have your say on the performance yesterday as well. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. Have your say. Let us know how you're feeling about the situation here at the Valley at the moment after the January transfer window. Now, before we hear the highlights, Nathan, like I said at the top, it was always going to be difficult without Carlin. Obviously, he's gone now. Without Lyle Taylor, he's still got another game of his suspension. He's going to miss next weekend against Southend as well. A lot of pressure on young Rico Hackett-Fairchild's shoulders to try and lead the line on his own until Parker came on sort of 10 minutes into the second half and we switched it up to a two up top. And so it really can't be much of a surprise to anyone that we looked pretty blunt up front yesterday.
Yeah, I think as soon as the team sheet came out, I sort of had sinking feelings. That's not film Rico, but there was an inevitability that we weren't going to be scoring twos, threes, and fours. But and that's no disrespect to Rico. Obviously, there's a player in there. I just don't think now is right for him. Yeah, it was going to be difficult, but we've just said before now, I mean, the last time we scored in open play was Walsall, really, and that was New Year's Day
yeah, so,
which is a long time for a team trying to get into the, no longer the top two, but, you know, did have aspirations for that. And it was
that's
hard.
A Charlton Live exclusive. Top two is now off the table, yeah, according to Nathan
McLaughlin. Yeah, I think it's very, very far-fetched, but you're expecting then, you know, the midfielders to come up with some goals, and unfortunately didn't. And then we were dealt a blow with, obviously, Chad Evans.
Yeah, and obviously the irony being that Chad Evans, if he had signed for Bolton on transfer deadline day, which was in motion at one point, so he's on loan at Fleetwood from Sheffield United. At first they were going to actually sell him to Sunderland. For whatever reason, that fell through. And then all of a sudden, Bolton wanted to try and take him on loan instead, and the player wanted to go. Chad Evans signed whatever the paperwork is, but because there's a 24-hour recall clause that Sheffield United had to activate, they didn't activate it. So it was up to the player, Fleetwood Town, and Bolton as well to get it all signed, and Fleetwood Town refused to sign it. The player wanted to go, ironically, but because that never happened, he was still there. And also, we never got Erin Otzuma. Now we're hearing that's what would have happened. We heard a couple of things yesterday, and that's what probably would have happened, is we would have got Erin Otzuma. So because, I mean, he's really ruined our weekend, that Chad Evans, hasn't he, by not moving to Bolton. Lewis, the other thing is, of course, I mean, I tweeted at half time, probably tempting fate a little bit, so we hadn't conceded a goal in, I think it was 403 minutes of football or something, I worked out, because the last goal we had conceded was in the second minute against Sunderland. Then we went almost 4.5 games without conceding. So to concede the goal that we did, where Chad Evans completely unmarked 8 yards out of goal, it's very, very not very like us at all, really, at the moment.
No, it was uncharacteristic from a defence that's impressed over recent weeks. Even in that Sunderland game, we conceded early. After that, we sort of soaked up the pressure in the first half and then kicked on. But every other game, the defence has been so solid. Naby's been a revelation since he's come in for Piercy. And just, yeah, uncharacteristic from the guys yesterday. Chad Evans finds himself unmarked and he puts Fleetwood one up. And, you know, we're already up against it then anyway, as we've discussed, with the striker shortage and everything. So, yeah, just a bit of a bad day at the office yesterday, wasn't it?
Excellent. Well, it was a bad day at the office. Let's relive it, shall we? The highlights of yesterday's game on Valley Pass come to you with Greg Stubley and first Terry Smith.
Ben Reeves said in his post-match Reeves last week that he wanted more goals in his game at the moment. Billick is the next one to join him over the ball, but it's Reeves who takes a shot. Oh, he's taken a deflection off that man, Sutra, I think, and away for a corner.
Yeah, if that's not a 6'7" defender, that's goal-bound. That's not a bad effort from Ben Reeves.
Cullen to swing it in. In it comes into the danger area. The keeper flaps it in and gets a hand on it, I think. Must have done. Oh, no, must have.
Ooh. No complaints from Charlton. So the goalkeeper must have just totally missed it.
Is it me, or did he look like he palmed that away?
I thought he got something on it, but no, there's no Charlton complaints whatsoever, no. So perhaps not.
Again, Cullen comes across to this Charlton left-hand side to take it. Corner comes in. It's a low one. It's a right to Reeves on the edge of the box, and he completely skies his effort, and then balks.
What a chance.
Soutar and Soutar's attempt to run the ball out. Either took his eye off his ball or he looked up and the sun hit him straight in the eyes. I don't know which, but complete air shot.
Well, it's a well-worked corner, which should have resulted in at least a shot on target from Ben Reeves, or even a shot in the end. And he just totally misjudged it. I think he was so focused on getting on target that he just forgot about actually connecting with the ball.
It's with the flick on from the throw, and he goes for the return, Jed Evans, and he's got it. Naby Sarr comes over, but there's a ball in the box, flicked inside, and Solly with the clearance away. This could be wait for a corner. No, that's good work from Naby Sarr to keep it from going out for a corner, but it's a throw right behind the corner flag to Fleetwood, their first real foray into Charlton territory.
Soutar.
And as far as Billick, right-hand corner of the penalty area, gives it to Cullen, who's edge of the box. Cullen drills it in. Oh, Bowers there, but he can't find the finishing touch. And it's out now to Williams, who knocks it in. The keeper saves. Lapsley trying to pick it up and send it back out to Williams. Left-hand edge of the penalty area. Ball into the box, headed clear. It'll drop to Billick, who another air shot from a yellow shirt. Drops to Cullen to possibly have a go this time. Instead knocks it left. Oh, he's
unlucky.
Overcooked that, and Williams can't get hold of it. But Charlton coming really close to opening the scoring now.
I think they should have done as well, too. It's a great ball in from Josh Cullen. I think it was Patrick Barrett at the back post, wasn't it?
Yep.
Any sort of meaningful contact, it's 1-0 Charlton. Nini had just hit him, and Fleetwood were able to scramble. It came to Williams, a good strike, and the keeper was able to regather himself and just parry it behind, but that's the best chance of the game so far. Wallace spawns the box towards Evans as well, cut out by Bauer. Billick, should I say. Burns with a little bit of a wayward header, sends Wallace further back, but he's able to control. Looks for the ball in the box again. Madden with the header near post is harmlessly over in the end. Fleetwood about to take this throw. They're taking their time with it. And the ball boy is not throwing the ball back, which is getting complaints from Lee Bowyer. Just want a word with that ball boy to Charlton, actually. And there's the half-time whistle. There's Charlton with five in the wall. Jed Evans steps up, goes for goal, and it's parried by Dylan Phillips. And the rebound is well defended by George Lapsley at the back post, putting pressure on Paddy Madden. Reeves. Looking for a bit of movement. Gets some Hackett Fairchild. Hackett Fairchild gets onto his left foot. Thinks about a shot.
Well,
and that's a wayward effort.
I don't mind that, though. He just couldn't curl it towards the goal. Instead, it drifted away.
I think he went for power in the end, which probably let him down. Gives it away long forward towards Madden. Madden with a push on Sarr, surely. But it comes to a shot from Nadison. And how the referee's not spotted out, I don't know. It's a clear push on Naby Sarr, it looked like. And it just allowed Nadison a clear run on goal. And luckily for Charlton, he just got it all horribly wrong and out of play for a goal kick. Back inside to Biedek. Poor ball forward, and it's a glorious chance. It's to Evans. Evans still with the ball. Evans, great save from Dylan Phillips, who rolls it out. But that was a glorious chance for Fleetwood, of Charlton's own doing.
Just about keeps it in chest control, cuts back inside and has to go backwards to Naby Sarr, and that's pretty much where we've been let down. Although there's a big switch now from Naby Sarr, read by Husband. He finds substitute Hunter. Big switch, looking for the run of Madden, who's in the area, headed back across to Evans. Evans finishes 1-0. Far too simple. Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Jesus.
That's a terrible goal from a Charlton perspective. For Terry, they've not been good enough, the Addicts, at all. Hunter, the substitute, with a lovely chip ball towards the far post. Madden just peeled into the space between Perrin and Assar, and there's no one tracking Jed Evans. The header back across by Madden was delightful, and Evans just basically has an open goal, which just needs to keep it on target. But this is almost a wake-up call for Charlton, because they've been awful. They really haven't.
Williams down to Billick. Billick into Reeves in space. Reeves sets Parker on his way, and he's beaten the offside trap, Parker. He's into the penalty area. Parker left foot across, free kick, Fairchild can't get there with the slide. Inches away from Charlton equalising.
That's the first chance Charlton really had this second half.
Wallace gets a header away. Solly with the header back in. Better Kelly can't get there. And it's hoofed away by Hunter. And it's a foot race here, and Dylan Phillips is out again. Oh, no, what's that from Dylan Phillips? He's headed it into the path of Jed Evans, who can't miss. Can't miss, and does. Wow. Free kick comes forward. Bauer underneath that. Oh, heads it straight up in the air.
Needs to be better there.
Header as well. Billick gets something on it, but it'll drop to a red shirt. And Jed Evans now try and take on Bauer. That's a good tackle. Oh, no, it's not. Thought it was a good tackle from Bauer. Not going to the referee. It's a free kick. And we're about to... he's off. He's giving him a second yellow for that tackle. What is that? Why is that a second yellow?
And Charlton's day just goes from bad to worse. Ched Evans, the goal scorer, turning Patrick Bauer. Bauer bringing him down. The referee deems it to be cynical enough to give him another yellow card. And Charlton now with down to 10 men and without their big German centre-half.
Pursued by Cullen, who does really well. And the referee has added all of 20 seconds. So the added time, which I said he wouldn't, didn't I? But it's papering over the cracks, really.
Welcome back. That's the highlights of yesterday's defeat up at Fleetwood Town. I never normally enjoy us conceding a goal, and yesterday was no different. But at least I got some funny music to cheer us up straight after. 1-0 defeat at Fleetwood. We heard Patrick Bauer being sent off late on as well, and it was just flat. And there was always that danger going into the game, Lewis, because, I mean, if you think back to 2 weeks ago when we scored that winning penalty against Accrington Stanley here at the Valley, Carlin Grant, of course, it was who got that penalty. And you think about how everyone was so happy and talking about the team fighting together and we'll be fine without Lyle Taylor because we've still got Carlin, and everything seemed to be falling into place and the fans running on the pitch to celebrate. Everyone was just one. And then you fast forward 2 weeks later and I feel like I feel just deflated over what's happened over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think the start of the lull was sort of when that penalty, wasn't it, up at Peterborough, when we obviously you knew about Carlin's future then, and I think that was a bit of a flat day all in all as well. And it seems to have carried over, and obviously it's well documented what everybody thinks of our transfer deadline day as well. That's put a bit of a dampener on the mood around the place. And yeah, and yesterday was no different. Obviously missing our now top scorer after losing Carlin, who's not just influential in terms of his goals, but his all-round play. So we're obviously missing him at the moment. And, we need him back, don't we? But we've got another week yet, so it's going to be interesting. But it just didn't get going yesterday, by the sounds of it. I mean, I wasn't there, thankfully. Unfortunately for you, you had to go and witness the Captain Pugwash stuff. Yeah. But, not good. Not good.
It's one of those unusual games where not too many people actually went up there, so not a lot of you were subjected to it, unfortunately. We won't get carried away. I mean, I think the opening half an hour, I think we showed some signs. You know, we had the one good chance, which we heard there, where the ball came across the face of goal, and I think it was Purrington at the back post who was unable to turn it over the line. Then it came back to Johnny Williams and Alex Cairns in the Fleetwood goal, made a good save. And that was probably the best chance of the first half for either side. But I think... You know, particularly in that second half, even though we changed formation, we never really got going, and it felt like one of those days where, I mean, if you think that all of us were probably going into that game thinking, you know, we're really going to struggle without Grant and Taylor now for today, and even though Rico was there to try and make his debut, he's extremely inexperienced, and you just wonder if that almost rubbed off on the team, and they've gone in with almost the same mindset that we have. It's like, oh God, we're missing our two best players at the moment.
Yeah, I think both said in his post-match he looked a bit flat, and I think that what you said there is exactly right. No disrespect to Rico, but...
Said that about 10 times already.
Yeah, but and I hope you don't listen. But I just think, you know, he's obviously going to try his hardest, but when you're looking at, and you haven't got your talisman, your focal point in Taylor or Grant, you are probably a little reluctant to go and try and play the way that we're used to playing because he doesn't have the same attributes as Taylor. And it must be hard for Rico because, like you say, it's his first time coming in. He's going against big, busty centre-halves. And he came in to do a job and it just wasn't his day. But it doesn't make it any easier. And it was just this season there's been games where We've not played well, but we've won a game and we've nicked a goal. But yesterday, the longer and longer it went on, I just couldn't see who was going to score that goal, like a Taylor would in a last minute or something. And that's what really sort of worried me yesterday.
Yeah, London in the Geezer tweeting in saying, Carlin who? Don't mention his name, Charlton. Like,
he only got me 1 point yesterday on fantasy as well. I'll put him in as just as a... I'll take a
photo. That's the sad thing. I think as the season progresses, I'm going to mention his name every game and I'm going to get more and more tearful as we struggle to replace him. You mentioned, obviously, we did replace Carlin in a way with Josh Parker. I mean, you could argue he came in to replace maybe Billy Clark as well. But he came on for his debut, wasn't starting yesterday. That was a little bit interesting. I wasn't sure, because he has played for Gillingham. It's not like he's completely out of match practice this season. So I was wondering in the build-up whether he would go with two up top with I was going to say Carlin, that would be wrong. London Innit Geezer's got in my head now. with Parker and with Rico. But he went for the 4-3-2-1 with Rico up top in his zone. But Parker did, you know, he decided to switch it to the diamond. I think it was 10 minutes into the second half that Parker came on. I mean, I know you were watching on iFollow, Nath. I mean, what did you make of his debut? And anyone who was there as well, let us know what you made of his debut. I mean, he had that one effort that sort of went across the face of goal that almost got touched in at the far post by Hackett Fairchild.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of points, there was a couple of passages of play which he'd done all right with. But for me, I don't see him as a replacement for Carlin. I see him as a backup for Lyle Taylor. I just think he's very physical. He's held up play well. But I can't see him doing what Carlin did. And I know it's going to be hard to replace Carlin. But even with Igor now, it's like we've got three similar strikers for me. But listen, in the famous words of Bose, it is what it is, and that's what we've got to deal with. But he looked okay. I don't want to be too negative.
No offence to exactly. Josh.
No disrespect to Josh Parker. But I don't, for me, he's not a top six, top two striker for me.
No.
But listen, that's harsh over what I've seen when he's played here the odd time, and what was it, half an hour or so? So I'm not going to pass judgment. I'm going to give him some time, but I just still think I'm very disappointed from the transfer window, and I just don't want to take it out on him.
It's not his fault.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
the other team news, obviously, apart from Rico, was Prattley being taken out for George Lapps. You could see George back in the team. Were you surprised by that, though? Because Prattley's done all right the last couple of games.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised, actually, and I thought, especially away from home, Prattley's got that physical presence about him, and just a bit of leadership quality as well in the middle with such a young side. But again, I think also George Lapsley has got the ability to be, you know, a bit of a pit bull, isn't he? He's always running. He's got loads of energy. He's like Duracell battery, isn't he? He's just all over the place. But I think I was a bit shocked that Prattley went out, because I think the last couple of games he's really, really made a name for himself in that team, and he's performed really well. But you know, George is one of our own, isn't he? So it's nice to see him getting a start in place.
Yeah. So in that opening, the sort of 20 minutes or so, I felt we started slightly the better, perhaps. We saw that free kick from Reeves that went just over, hit the wall and went over the bar. And like I say, we had that really good chance. There was another one, which I think I put into the highlights, an air shot from Reeves. I mean, the sun yesterday was unbelievable. Like, I genuinely think I might have come back from Fleetwood with a tan there, because the sun was so low and so bright into our eyes, and I genuinely think that affected a couple of the players, because we saw an air shot from Paddy Madden at the other end as well. But you know, Josh Cullen had pulled a corner kick, back to the edge of the box, and Reeves was completely unmarked on the edge of the area, went to swing at it with his left foot and just completely missed the ball. So I do wonder if the sun was sort of playing a part in that. And like I say, Paddy Madden did the same down the other end. But then, like I said, we had that big chance that we were just unable to bundle it home at the far post, and then we just started to get into this little rhythm of where it wasn't really coming off for us. And I'd say after the first, yeah, maybe the first 25 minutes after that, it was just a little bit of struggling. I do just think that, you know, if you think about the midfield that's been trying to work hard and create chances in that first 25 minutes, if all of a sudden they're looking up and they're not really seeing the option that they want, I guess they're going to start to try and play a bit more safe and just try and walk their way through. And it just really wasn't happening for us at all, really. I just want the lack of a focal point yesterday was always going to be something that held us back.
Yeah, I think so. I think when you lose your rhythm as well, and when you haven't got a focal point, I'm not saying, well, obviously, don't go long to Lyle all the time or anything, but everyone knows his movements. He knows if he's going to go in the channels or if he's going to come short. They'll know that Carlin are going behind him if they got that option there, whereas we had Rico. We still don't know whether is his hold-up play well? Can he, you know, is his touch really good, or will he go over the top? And like you say, I think when players are unsure of a player's characteristics, because they haven't played with him week in, week out, they're sort of sometimes scratching their heads a little bit, wondering how they're going to get through. And I think Fleetwood, it's quite a bitty game towards in the second half. It seemed a bit disjointed. And the longer it went on, yeah, we just didn't look like we had any sort of invention in that midfield, which is very unlike us. If you look at the players we've got, you know, with Reeves and Williams and Cullen, you wouldn't think that, but it was an off day for him for sure.
Mm. They were quite physical in that first half as well, Fleetwood Town. I don't know if they did that just to get in and amongst us. I tweeted before the game, actually, that John Coleman, the Accrington Stanley manager, was sat behind me because their game at home to Blackpool was off. So him and Terry McPhillips, the Blackpool manager, were both sat behind us. So in fairness, Terry McPhillips, I didn't know he was there. He could have sat on my lap and I wouldn't recognise him. But John Coleman was there, and I was thinking he must be loving this, all these horrible challenges going in the first half. As soon as the second half started, we never got going whatsoever. And that is quite worrying. You know, if you think about the rest of the season... The problem with obviously doing a show every week after a game is we analyse each game as it comes, and we're talking after yesterday's game and feeling very down, and hopefully that this is going to just be a one-off. But I guess because of the timing of it with what happened in the transfer window and losing our best player and still being without Lyle Taylor, people have all of a sudden a little bit worried perhaps about what could happen. But we shouldn't really get carried away with just one performance just yet.
No, I mean, there's a lot of football to be played between now and May, but you obviously can't help but feel negative after, you know, what went on Thursday and how it ended up. And, you know, we've let three senior strikers go, if you include Billy Clark as a striker, and we've brought in somebody that we didn't even assume was on the list of people that were, you know, on Bowyer's targets, and he's come in, he's not even an actual striker. And I think people are, you know, I don't, like Nave said, I don't want to judge Josh Parker early on, but it is quite disappointing. And I think he's got a really tough job now to try and not win the fans over, but he's got to perform early on, because I think he's in a bit of a position where people can get on his back quite quickly. And it's going to be interesting to see how that develops over the next couple of weeks. I mean, there's a big game next Saturday against Southend. He might get a start in place. You know, if the one, you know, Rico up top on his own isn't working, then maybe he'll give Josh Parker a start next week. He might have a fantastic game and we'll be thinking, oh, we're not as bad off as we first thought. But the natural timing of yesterday's defeat alongside the disappointing January transfer window was always sort of, you know, it's a recipe for a bit of a disaster. But fingers crossed we can bounce back.
Yeah, we're going to hear from Josh Parker later on in the show, actually. Hear what he makes of his arrival at the Valley. He's not as down as you two are, actually. He's quite happy to be here. But Dylan Phillips made two good saves. Well, made a big save. I think Fleetwood had two good chances not too long before they scored. Actually, Naderson was sort of through one-on-one. I think... argument of a foul on Naby, but as he went through, he just completely sliced his left-footed volley effort. And then there was another one where Chet Evans, sort of capitalising on a mistake in the Charlton midfield, was bundling through on goal, walked all the way through the defence, and Dylan came out well to make a big smothering save. And I think if he hadn't made the boo-boo that he made later on after the goal, then people would be coming out saying he actually had a really good game. But I think just the boo-boo, he came out to a long ball over the top where he tried to head it to a Charlton player, got it all wrong and just gifted it to Chet Evans, who somehow missed an open goal from about 35 yards out. Just sort of took the edge off his performance. But other than that, he was doing quite well, Dylan. Chance of Charlton number one behind the goal were coming quite often. Now, the goal itself, long ball forward from Ashley Hunter, Madden knocks it down, and Chet Evans can't really miss from there. Now, you know, for a defence that had a couple of shaky moments in the moments before, I mean, you just don't expect to see them switch off like that, because, like I say, we've gone so long without conceding a goal. And it just adds insult to injury. There is a player that, if he wasn't there, which he almost wouldn't have been, we would have added another player as well. It's just ironic how those things work out sometimes.
Yeah, it is. But it was a good goal with a team who played two strikers, something we didn't have. But no, it was a good finish. But yeah, it's very uncharacteristic of us that we switched off. Even, you know, sometimes I think we miss Pierce a lot, but Naby's been brilliant since he's come in, played regularly, and yeah, it was disappointing yesterday. They'll be disappointed to give a goal away in that sort of game, and I think because we didn't really have a lot of options up front, that first goal was going to be key, and unfortunately for us, it went to the guy who ruined my Thursday. They turns out so in Chet Evans, but I won't hold it against him forever.
All right, fair enough. After the goal, Fosu and Vetekele both came on for Reeves and for Hackett Fairchild. But I'm just going through my tweets now. I can't see an actual chance we had other than that Josh Parker one. Like I said, that was nearly touched home. He sort of got the ball on the left-hand side of the area, drove it across the face of goal with his Hackett Fairchild before he went off, was at the far post, was unable to bundle it home. And really, that was it. I mean, for all the couple of long shots we had from Tariq Fosu, nothing came of it. Naby Sarr actually sent a couple of long throws over as well, which was threatening to do a couple of weeks ago here at the Valley, but obviously never did. And it was, that was it. Nothing came from it until, you know, the last bit of excitement was a red card for Patrick Bauer. Now, you know, probably a fair decision. You'll hear from Bowyer in a minute, but he was joking. It was the same referee that we had when we played Blackpool away. So obviously, quite enjoys that little corner of the world. This referee, Tony Harrington, I think he was called, who in that game failed to give Curtis Till a second yellow card for taking out Lyle Taylor in the first half. And so that could have been a very different story. But he actually this time did his job and sent off Patrick Bauer, probably fairly in our opinion.
Yeah, it was a clumsy challenge by Pat, especially when he's already on a yellow. I think it was sort of written that was always going to happen. If you stick a leg out like that, it's a little bit clumsy. But I mean, now, obviously, that's another body that we're missing. Bilic will have to, obviously, go in as a like-for-like swap, and Cullen maybe at the base of the diamond, or maybe we'll stick Prattley there, I don't know. Hopefully Josh Cullen. But, yeah, it's another big name to lose. I mean, Pat Bauer's played a lot of minutes this year for us, and he's impressed. So any loss of a player of his stature is damaging. So we'll have to see how we get on.
Yeah. Last thing we needed, really. Obviously, it's only a one-game ban, so not the end of the world. But with our smallish squad in certain places there. But like I said, we probably have got Christian Billick as a ready-made replacement to drop into that defence. So the final whistle goes. It's our first defeat in six, which possibly, again, you might forget because of the feelings around the transfer window and what happened. So you put that into context, we've fallen away a bit further from the top two now. I mean, that is going to... I mean, Bowes again says we're going to run out of games if we don't start putting a real run together again of wins. We've still got that cushion to the teams in seventh. We've still got, I think it's a 7-point gap at the moment. There are games in hand below us, which we've got to be careful of. But there is a little cushion now to keep us within the playoffs. Yeah, Doncaster and Blackpool both have two games in hand on us. So give it another month and it could be quite tight if we don't start picking up results again.
Yeah, of course. I think obviously in a month's time we've got Donny and Portsmouth. So these next few games we need to get the wins on the board. And yeah, I'm not going to get too down from losing one game, but it's just disheartening to see, you know, Luton doing very well and pulling away from the pack. Barnsley and Sunderland have got games in hand. But, yeah, we've got a lot of football to be played, but we need to start winning games if we're ever going to, even to cement the playoffs, because anything can happen. If we lose to Donny and they win their game in hand, it all changes.
Well, they've got two games in hand.
Exactly. So it's going to be... We can either do it two ways. We can either make it easy for ourselves and win as many games and we'll be certain playoff contenders, or we're going to leave it till the last day or last few games and it's going to be hairy, and I think it'll probably be the second. Excellent. Which is what we'll always do.
Well, make it exciting for the end of the season, won't it? I'm looking forward to it already now. Thanks for that. Right, let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer had to say after yesterday's game. I caught up with the Addicts boss, and he had absolutely no complaints that his team came home from the Far Coast empty-handed.
We got what we deserved, and that's nothing. We'll leave disappointed, obviously. But with no points, we didn't deserve it, I don't think. We didn't deserve to win the game. We carried too many people today. That's what I've just told them. And that's the truth. We didn't look good defensively. We didn't look good attacking. Everything that's been good this season is just... weren't there today. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know. It's so frustrating because there's 3 points dropped, and before we know it, there's going to be single figure left of games, and we can't afford to be dropping points like that, you know. So we have to dust ourselves off. Work hard next week in training and make sure it doesn't happen again. But I'm disappointed because I don't see that very often from them, you know. And, so I'm not going to go mad. I didn't go mad because I know it hurts them as much as it hurts me. So it just disappoints me, you know.
It's always likely to be a struggle with Lyle Taylor still out and with Carlin gone now as well. Your two top goal scorers taken out of the team.
No, I know, but even defensively we didn't look good. I don't know why we kept dropping deep, like two centre-halves are marking one striker. Like, one of you go and mark him, don't keep turning and having all the freedom. And he scored from, like, what, 6-7 yards out with no one near him. That doesn't make sense to me. So, I don't know. It was just bad from start to finish, really. And it's not like us, you know. Like I said, we've been good of late. Well, all season, I think we've been good. We've chucked the odd bad one in, but this is one of them bad ones that we're just going to have to just move on as quick as possible. And we will. We will. We've got two home games now coming up, and we have to win them both.
The defence that hadn't conceded too many goals, I think 4.5 games are made out, but now they're going to have to do as well without Patrick Bauer for one game following his late red card.
Yeah, second yellow one, thought it was soft. It's funny, the ref, I said to him after, like, maybe he could have let that one go because of what happened up in Blackpool. But he said two wrongs don't make a right, and I agree. It was the second yellow, he pulled him back, got rolled, pulled him back. So, second yellow card.
And you're able to take a look at your new signing, Josh Parker, today, as well as Rico Hackett-Fairchild getting his first league start for the club. What did you make of the two of those?
I thought Josh done okay when he come on, but tired. I felt sorry for him, just didn't get enough quality balls into him in the final third. So Rico, for me, it's a learning day for him, because it was tough for him, and I think he found it difficult.
And with the players who are out as well, like Lyle Taylor, it's good to see Igor Vetekele finally be able to come back and try and make an impact from the bench.
Yeah, it's good to see him back, but we're going to have to work hard with him there. We're going to have to work. He's got to get fit as quick as possible, because we don't have many options now. So the quicker we can get him fit, then the better for everybody.
And obviously, now that the transfer window is closed, you know what you've got to deal with for the rest of the season, what you've got to work with, I guess. So in a way, it sort of make it a bit clearer what's got to happen between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I know what we have to do. We have to win games. And to win games, you need to keep clean sheets and score goals. And we'll keep working at that all week. And with our fans, obviously, back home next Saturday, then things will be different next week, I'm sure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As Lyle Taylor has a glorious chance on his Addicts debut, gives Charlton a lead, and referee blows whistle. Taylor steps up. Lyle Taylor.
Yes! Charlton take the lead after 9 minutes. Lyle Taylor on his Charlton debut
gives the away side an unlikely lead.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Looking back at yesterday's defeat of Fleetwood, we just heard there from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, caught up with him on the side of the pitch at Highbury Stadium after yesterday's game. And he just sounded a bit downbeat, really. I don't think he was expecting that performance from his side. You know, even with players missing, as we were saying, you know, back to front, he felt they weren't up to the levels that he's been used to over the last few weeks of this.
No, and just, yeah, I think he sounds as frustrated as we all are. Whether he's just a little bit frustrated about Thursday as well, I think you can hear in his voice he's not very happy. But, yeah, just flat yesterday, and I think he opened it with we got what we deserved and that was nothing, and that sums it up. It's very disappointing, but I don't want to get too downbeat about it. I want to try and build up the positivity for next Saturday, but... It's hard, isn't it, sometimes, when you've got rid of four players and brought in one.
Well, that's not quite right. We did bring in Johnny Williams, obviously. We're getting carried away we need to look at the transfer window as a whole rather than just the last day, which I think was a disappointing day. We're going to talk about it a lot more later on, so we'll do so. He was joking, like I say, about the referee not sending off the player. Interesting what he said about Rico Hackett-Fairchild, because... You know, as fans as well, we try and big him up, and no disrespect to him, Nathan, but he did struggle yesterday. There were times where his first touch wasn't quite on, and that's often going to be the case with a player who is so young and it is his first start. You know, you can't just throw him under the bus just yet because he had a bad game on his debut away from home in difficult circumstances.
Yeah, and I think it will come for me. I have an opinion on under 23 football anyway, but that's for another day. But I think
you have a really controversial opinion on that. What you think it should be banned?
No, I just think they should be playing men's football, like reserve, like you used to do in the
old
days.
Reserve league,
because for this reason, because you look at Rico, he could go and bang in 20 like Carlin used to bang him in the younger levels. But when you come up against men, they're two different ball games, and for me, he's not ready yet. Like Carlin was. Carlin was in the same position. We loaned him out. He learnt the trade. He's come back a better player. And that's all I think it should be. But I can't blame Bowes for putting Rico in, because he didn't have... Parker had, what, one day's training?
With the lads, yeah.
With the lads. So I can't really fault, you know, Rico or Bowyer. That's the hand he was dealt with, unfortunately. But, listen, hopefully Rico can just... get some games, and maybe we'll use it as a learning experience. But you're playing up against two big busty centre halves. You know the winners, but I don't know what busty, rather nice busty men. But yeah, you know. So yeah, I think you'll learn.
Chips.
But mate, I've dropped myself in it again.
Oh, clipping that out. Right, that's making the end of season compilation. Excellent. Right, on tonight's show, later on we are going to hear from Josh Parker, don't forget. We've got plenty to talk about. We're going to chat about the game with yourselves as well. Plenty of you have got involved. If you want to do so, you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum and have your say on there. If you want to send Nathan any photos of any busty footballers, please do that to his own account.
I've got loads of Heskey ones already, so anyone but Heskey.
Yeah, so none of that in our account, please. Right, what people had to say on the game yesterday. I mean, 100% Charlton, we can't depend on Lyle to get us goals. Two games he has missed, and we've struggled to score a goal. The midfield and the defence need to start to chip in with goals, or we will struggle to secure our playoff place. Reeves, Williams, Fosu all need to step up ASAP. I mean, you were looking at the stat that CFC Facts and Stats tweeted yesterday, Nathan. You were, yeah. I mean, what percentage of our goals were out yesterday? Do you think
it was like 65?
Yeah, because so
like
obviously
that.
Taylor and Grant are our two top goal scorers, and then Joe Rebo is second, third, even with fifth. And then no one else has got more than two. Mm. And you're looking at a midfield that you'd think the likes of Reeves And Fosu, you'd expect a lot more from him. Williams, you know, he needs to start adding goals to his game as well. You know, we desperately, especially now in the situation that we're in, we're desperately going to need more goals in that midfield.
Yeah, exactly. I think any team, you're always going to have a focal point. You know, you've got Spurs that have Kane, but the difference is that if our midfield was full of defensive-minded players, then I could understand saying that, you know, oh, we're not getting enough goals. But we know every single one of those midfielders, to an extent, Bilic maybe on set pieces, but the other three are more than capable of scoring 5+. You'd think, wouldn't you? I mean, in terms of technical ability. So yeah, it's true that we do need to get more goals from midfield because Taylor's our best player 100%, but there's going to be some times where you might have an off day, like everyone did yesterday. You know, they're not robots, they have off days, and that's where someone else has got to go, I'll tell you what, there's one in the onion bag if Taylor ain't doing it, do you know? And that's what was really telling yesterday, is because I couldn't envisage someone coming up. No disrespect to Cullen this time, I couldn't see him edging the box and just banging it in top corner, you know? Yeah.
You've disrespected every single one of our teams so far. As long as you say no disrespect beforehand, you can say what you want.
But look, I ain't going to get any many Christmas cards, you know? Everyone's going to hate me now, apart from Nabs, obviously.
I forget my Christmas
ages away. Shove Nabby up top.
Bert Palmer on the Charlton Life Forum said, we've got to play Fosu now as he's vital as to whether we finish the season strong or not. Now, that's an interesting point because I think I was getting tweets during the game yesterday, people saying, asking, where is Fosu? Why didn't he come on earlier? Why didn't he start? But, I mean, you can see his performances this season. I mean, I know there's only one way to play yourself back into form, and that is by playing games of football, but he's had chances this season to do that, and he hasn't really hit the heights that we know he can.
No, not at all. I mean, I know he's had injury problems at the start of the season, but he's looked nowhere near the player he was last season, and whether that's expectation that's landed on his shoulders this year after his impressive spell last year, I don't know. I mean, I think last season he was sort of looked at as a backup for Marshy, so when he was performing, there wasn't a huge amount of pressure on him to perform because there was no expectation there. But this season, I think we would be looking at him, you know, away from Taylor and obviously now away from Carlin, that Foster would be the one that you'd be looking at down the line to get the goals. And I think he's just looked completely off it this year. I think we've mentioned, you know, week after week on the show about his decision making and not releasing the ball and taking too many touches. And I don't know what it is with him. I mean, he had that great a great half of a game at Walsall at home. It wasn't Walsall at home.
Walsall
was
away,
it?
Wasn't it?
Walsall away, he played really well. And then there was a game here where he scored a really good goal. It was that Gillingham,
I think, yeah.
The Gillingham game. But apart from that, I couldn't tell you anything that Foster's really contributed to the side this season.
Yeah, through ball. Did he play the through ball for Reeves' goal in that game as well, I think, against Gillingham? So he has had a couple of good games, but he just hasn't been as consistent. We had a couple of long range efforts yesterday after he came on, but I think failed to hit the target. And we certainly need more from him. Bert Palmer making that suggestion on the Charlton Life forum. 100% Charlton. Again, next two home games are must wins, and we can't afford to drop any points from them. Hopefully, Josh Parker and Igor Vetekele are ready to step in for the Southend game, because it's not fair on Rico to have to leave the line with no experience whatsoever. I mean, obviously with Rico as well, I mean, it's bad enough being chucked in when you are inexperienced, but to have to do it on your own up top as well. I mean, that really was a big ask for him, and he looked isolated at times until Parker did come on in that second half.
Yeah, exactly. I think if he had someone alongside, I think if he Rico had someone like a Taylor next to him, then he'd probably be able to feed off him. But a player of that inexperience, expected to hold the ball up, bring others into play, be the focal point. You know, hold the ball up so other people can get in and around him. It's a big job. It's a big, big job.
And when your confidence is low, your first touch is the first thing that goes. And I think you could see that. There was times in that first half where he hadn't seen the ball for a while, and then someone played it to feet just inside the Fleetwood Town half. I remember him taking a heavy touch and lost the possession. I think that's one of the things that, you know, because it was such a difficult situation for him, it's probably one of the things why we looked a little bit blunt up front as well. Right, Footy League says, we haven't said goodbye to automatic promotion just yet. There'll be plenty of twists and turns to go before the end of the season. What I do know is that one shot on goal all game will not get us there. Successful curbs, Charlton team scored from every position, and 100% chance. It does things that the top two is still in reach But we can't afford any more performances like yesterday. Undisclosed Fee FC responding to when Lee Bowyer said that something was missing yesterday. He said it was Lyle Taylor. Tim Ruffle says it almost like everyone from the players to the fans were peed off yesterday. I felt that maybe that showed in the performance as well. I mean, is that the feeling? You know, maybe that. That feeling of it was a slightly disappointing end to the transfer window, has that gotten in amongst the squad?
I'd say so, if I'm honest. I mean, you'd like to think that as professionals it wouldn't.
It's still one game, so maybe we are judging too early as well. But
yeah, I just feel like, you know, it's the lack of the reinvestment is putting pressure on the already short playing squad that we have. So you've got, you know, there are players in there that are going to have to really graft over the next couple of weeks, especially without Lyle Saturday and without Pat as well. They're gonna have to really put a shift in. I think we're in such a good position. It's just so frustrating that we haven't taken advantage of a market. You know, any normal club would use the money from selling their star striker to invest it in something else to keep the momentum going and push for a top two, which is actually in reach this season. You know, we made the playoffs last season, the top two was never in reach, but this year it genuinely is in reach. And it's just very frustrating that, you know, something like that, losing a player in Carlin, not only do you lose 14 goals, but it's just ridiculous. Like you lose so much, and that's got to filter down through the playing squad. There's no doubt, and there's a concern in my head, especially now with Rico, that if we're forcing this game time on him, you've only got to look back to Carlin Grant, Bob Peters' days when he was in exactly the same position, and you think that the amount of time he went through without a real solid performance and the damage it did to him, blooding him so early. It's only, you know, this season he's actually come on, and the tail end of last season at another club. So it's a danger, bloodying youngsters too early. And I wasn't there yesterday, so I couldn't comment, but judging by what everyone's saying about how Rico got on, it sounds like he's not ready.
Yeah, obviously now with Patrick Bauer sent off, I was asking as well how people would set up the defence for the next game. Oliver Kempzer saying Solly, Billick, Sart and Purrington. Dick Steele will take Billick role in the DM. Anthony Penton saying similar, Billick and Sart at centre-back, but don't forget Prattley's done a good job there before, and that's not a bad idea at all, actually, from Anthony, if we don't want to lose Billick in the midfield. Cappuccino saying Solly, Billick, Naby and Catboy, Ben the Cat, Purrington. He also says, well done, me, for signing up for the Amsterdam ride. Yeah, and well done to those who from Charlton who went into the Glades in Bromley yesterday to fundraise for part of the ride. I think they got £750, which is not bad for a day's work. I haven't raised a single penny yet, actually, so if anyone wants to go on my Twitter page and raise donate some money, we've got the bike ride to Amsterdam coming up in the summer. I need to raise about £1,200. I'm currently on exactly zero, so we need to sort that out as soon as possible. Peter Barrett saying that the playoffs is the best that we can hope for. We're going to be talking about signings as well coming up as well, so don't forget we're going to talk about that. Now, DJR saying, playing with a young striker who is not ready but tried, and bringing on a third-choice Gillingham striker plus no Taylor are the reasons we lost. There was no firepower. We were toothless. I worry for the rest of the season. The rat has done it again, but I hope Bowyer can work his magic. A few more from the transfer window, which we're going to hear from Josh Parker soon as well. So we're going to concentrate on the transfer window after we hear from Josh Parker. F. James, very disappointed to see us underperform and show such a lack of indecision. Yes, we saw the sale of our main strike force and the obvious frustration within the team was evident, but get to grips and regain the passion and flowing football that you have. Don't give up, because you see one player who is not a team but a member of the team leave the ranks, grow a pair and do what you know you can to stop all this feeling sorry for yourself. I hate the idiot owner along with us all, but the lads need us more than ever now. I still believe we will do it, but you need to fight more than ever now. Show us a passion, show should the team get out and show us no more heads down but chin up and go for it. I don't want a repeat of yesterday's performance. Yeah, hopefully that won't be the case and we won't see a repeat of that. Right, I think we should hear from Josh Parker soon. We've still got plenty of tweets and emails to come in. But I want to get on to Josh Parker now, because he was pleased to sign for the club, obviously. He spoke to Tom Rubishaw from the club the other day to say what it felt like to have signed for Charlton Athletic.
A bit surreal, but very humbling and very welcoming. It's nice.
And obviously you've come from Gillingham, but Charlton fans have seen a bit of you, but what can they expect to see from you?
They can expect to see a winner, someone that likes to work hard, and coming to this team you have to work hard because of how well the team's doing and aspirations. So for me, they can just expect me to help the team in any way I can, whatever that may be.
And you mentioned the aspirations. Obviously, promotion is the goal here. What's it like for you to come and be a part of something like that?
It's motivating because I know the quality of player that's here. Obviously, the manager's career speaks for itself. So for me, it's just an opportunity to prove to myself and my family and those that have believed in my journey that I should be playing at this level with these kind of players. So it's a really good feeling.
And obviously the chance to play at the Valley. Do you have many memories from playing at the Valley at all?
Obviously last season playing here at Gillingham, but the fans here and just the stadium, the whole atmosphere is something that I think when you're growing up and you want to be a professional footballer, it's the kind of environment that you imagine. So, it's just perfect.
And then in terms of the Charlton squad, do you know many of the players that are playing here? You've got a chance to speak to them at all?
Yeah, I know two or three of the players just through being in football. I know Lyle plays for Montserrat, which is the island opposite mine, so there's a little bit of international competition there. But I know Joe, I know Piercy. So it makes the transition from Gillingham to Charlton much easier because obviously the natural relationship that we already have is there. So it makes everything, the settling in period, much easier.
And you mentioned Antigua?
Yeah.
Montserrat. Well, have you had a chance to play against Lyle internationally?
No, not yet. But the manager of Montserrat's from Antigua, so. but no. We haven't played against each other, but yeah, our islands are very, very close to each other.
And if you did, who'd win?
I don't like to say, because he's going to come back and say Montserrat regardless, but I'm always going to say Antigua.
You also, understand, know Charlton's head of recruitment, Steve Gannon, very well. Can you explain a little bit about how you know him?
Yeah, so when I was just playing Sunday League, I went on trial to QPR and as an under-16, and Steve was the manager. So that's how long I've known him. It's been over 10 years. And it's nice to know that he's always kept an eye out on my career. And it's nice to now be back kind of around him, but at an amazing club. Where just his role's changed, though.
And what are your memories from him from back in the day?
Strict, but funny as well. Very, very funny man. Always got one-liners, always very jokey and making people smile, but strict when necessary.
You're looking forward to working with them again?
Yeah, can't wait. I can't wait to work with everyone here.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. That was Josh Parker there speaking. On signing for the club, obviously, before Saturday's game. The reason we just had a slight brief bit of silence, I was trying to play a jingle and I screwed it up, so we're back here instead. Obviously excited to be here at the Valley. It's a big move for him. He's played at some interesting clubs. He played for Red Star Belgrade. Difficult time there though. I believe there was a good interview with him in the Sun that people were retweeting the other day. That's worth a read. He had quite a fascinating time there and a very difficult time. But you know, came back to English football. Playing at Gillingham for the last 3 years. Now, I mean, when you're losing a player like Carlin Grant, who scored 14 goals in half a season, people are going to start looking at someone like Josh Parker, who's scored 16 goals in 79 appearances, 20 of which came from the bench, though. I mean, people are automatically going to look at that as a striker, but also you've got to think about what else he's going to bring to the team, and you hope that, you know, he talks about a hard work and a work rate. And if you're playing up alongside Lyle Taylor, then you will get more chances to score than you would when you're playing for Gillingham.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But I think the frustration is I've never seen him play. I'd never even heard of him before Thursday. So
he scored against us a couple of New Year's Day last year for Gillingham, yeah, here at the Valley.
I'm sure he played this year as well. But he didn't really do much, I don't think.
No, I can't remember. No.
memorable.
Yeah. So I mean, what was your feelings then? So we spent the whole day trying to work out who was coming in, and Josh Parker sort of came completely out of the blue. Were you surprised?
I was, yeah, because I, like I said earlier, I didn't think he was even on the shortlist. So when he came in and it came up as a permanent, I sort of assumed that there'd be a loan to follow, and by all accounts, that seemed to be what was on the cards. Mm. I think if a loan had come in as well, someone that I'd heard of, especially, I'd have been a bit more upbeat about it. I know Mo Issa was linked for a long time. I think that maybe had sort of collapsed a little bit earlier on in the day, so that was looking unlikely. We've already touched base on Özcimer not coming in. He's someone I'd have loved to have at the club. He's always caused nightmares when he's played against us, but like, where would he fit in the side when we've got people that play in his position already? And then it's, you know, he's looking around for a striker in a similar mould to Carlin Grant. I think
they're not going to grow on trees, are they?
Yeah, but I see Josh Parker's a bit of a Lyle Taylor. You know, I think he's more of a hold up person than, and he'll just sort of be. It's like having two. Well, if we have two Lyle Taylors up front, it'd be a laugh. But two Lyle Taylor esque players.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Aaron Notsuma, would he have fitted into our team if we'd got him though? He's a good player.
Yes, very good player. I think he would definitely have improved the squad, which goes on to what Bo's always said. But would he fit in? I'm pretty sure Bo's would try and shoehorn him in, but I'm trying to think of how you'd fit him, Reeves and Johnny Williams into a diamond formation. Because our tall is he? He's smaller than Solly, isn't he?
He's 5'4" or something like that.
Yeah. So, it would have been a great signing, but it'd be interesting where he would fit in, but it didn't happen. But yeah, Özcimer would have been a good little addition, very tricky. Scored a header against us, didn't he? Last season, I think it was.
Yeah.
Just before half time. It would have been good, but like you say, it's difficult because everyone's disappointed of Grant going because of a situation we're in that something that could have happened. But at the same time, you're not going to get someone like for like who's going to score that amount of goals for free or on loan. It's impossible. Someone's not going to lend you their top goal scorer just because they feel sorry for us. But that's what we've got to deal with, and that's what happens when you play well. And unfortunately, it's another one that comes off the Charlton conveyor belt, and we've just got to hope Josh Parker can, you know, even if he gets 7-8 goals, just get some goals to ease the pressure of Lyle.
Yeah, he had a trial here, actually. In the summer when Russell Slade was manager, and he did score in a 23s game, but he didn't. It didn't end up getting signed by us. I think that's when he went to Gillingham. Right. We're going to go through all the tweets because we've got mainly about the transfer window. That was always likely to be what tonight's show was going to be about. So I asked what people made of our transfer window. So just for clarification, we had Carlin Grant, Nicky Ajose, Jed Steer, Jamie Ward, and Billy Clark. Go or return to their parent clubs, or go on loan, of course, in Nicky Ajose's situation. And coming in, we have Chris Maxwell, the goalkeeper, Johnny Williams, Ben Purrington, the cat, and Josh Parker, of course, on the final day. And as we were saying, linked with Mo Issa, that's apparently fell through quite early on transfer deadline day. Aaron Otsuma was mentioned. Carl Vassell was a name I heard as well, a striker who's at Rotherham at the moment. But none of those happened. It's just Josh Parker coming in. So I asked what people thought of it. Master of None said we had four coming in and five going out. That's only 80% when we wanted 100%. Paul Holmes said it showed a lack of ambition. We haven't even touched it, but Ronan de Châtelet is still the owner. So it's always unlikely that we were going to go and see that that money reinvested that came in for Carlin. I mean, there would be other League One clubs that would do the same. They'd sell a player and not be able to reinvest. But for a club of our size in this division, you would have hoped that he would have seen sense to try and give Bayer a little bit of money to go out and improve the team and fire us further towards the top two, rather than, in some people's opinion, slightly weakening the squad.
Well, you'd make the club more... You put the club in the shop window a lot more if we're in the Championship. You know, it's in his best interest to invest and get the club out of the third division, surely. But, the thing is, I don't even know why I'm surprised, because it happens season after season, doesn't it? January is like the worst month to be a Charlton fan, because we always know that if we start strong, the best players get you know, linked with other people. Some go, some stay. And we always end up weaker, you know, throughout. I mean, start of January, I was quite optimistic. I thought Johnny Williams, fantastic signing. Chris Maxwell, great goalkeeper in the Championship. Obviously, back up to Dills at the moment, but at least he's putting the pressure on Dylan, and Dylan's performing. And Ben Perrington's filled the position at left-back that we've needed replaced for a very long time. And then you're looking at that, and we've got quite a bit of depth now. You see the bench starting to have a few more senior players on it than it has for the rest of the season. And then you get to the end of it, and I know Nicky Ajose he's not really made any headlines in the time he's been here, but he is a senior striker, and now we find ourselves without a senior striker, really. Rico, I wouldn't consider as a full-time senior striker at the moment. Igor Vetticelli's been out for months, and this Josh Parker's been with the squad a day. So I think we've the timing of things is all a bit of a nightmare, and obviously we let Billy Clark go as well on deadline day. I know that was, you know, maybe for his own good, for his own career after a difficult injury, but I think he's a player that could have a lot more impact than what we've got at the moment.
We'll see. Right, Simon Lambert said, poor performance yesterday, rubbish transfer window, no investment or ambition from Roland Ratt, but I didn't expect anything else. I'm just gutted. Boya keeps pretending he's happy and Roland is a great club owner. Just tell the truth. Boya has done miracles on a shoestring, though. Big up Lee Boya. David Nichols, the window started well, which is the same as what you were saying, Lewis. Looked promising and then reverted to type. Deflating ending as Roland cut wage costs, made some money back and failed to back Boya. Top two hopes faded. But the injuries have eased, so we must stay positive. Come on, you Reds. Richard Justin, I noticed Jay Simpson is training with Orient, but looking for a league club. Worth a punt, Nath, Jay Simpson?
Jay Simpson, the old Arsenal one. A journeyman, isn't he? listen, I mean, it could probably do a job, but will he vastly improve our team? Probably not. I think once Lyle's fit, is he going to play ahead of him and Parker? Probably not. So I mean, I wouldn't just. It's a good shout, but for us, I think we should be getting better sort of caliber players in. But who knows? And if we've signed Keith Gillespie before, so nothing would surprise me with us. To be honest.
London and the Geezer, I don't get why people are moaning about the transfer window business. We got in Purrington, Parker and Williams, lost Grant, who wanted out, and Adjose. I'd have expected under Du Châtelet more out, to be honest. Why on earth people would think he'd invest the Grant money is beyond me. Yeah, I don't think anyone ever thought he would, but I can see why people are moaning that he didn't, though, because, I mean, this is the best position. If you forget what league we're in, because obviously we're a league lower than we have been for a lot of Du Châtelet's tenure, this is the best position we've been in terms of a league season. We're fourth going into the end of the transfer window. We're now fifth, of course. So people always thought, well, why doesn't he just gamble and just try and get us up into that better league? I mean, surely it would be better for his sale of the club if we're, as you said, Lewis, more in the shop window or nearer to the Premier League at least. But yeah, in terms of expecting it, as you say, London and the Geezer, I don't think anyone really expected it. But, you know, everyone's going to moan about it still because we want the best for the club and it doesn't seem to be what's happening. Right, Andrew Wheaton says we're now less likely to go up. We haven't replaced the players who left with goals. We are threadbare up top, having to play a kid up top yesterday said it all. JC CFC said he's already planning his trip to Ipswich away next season, and obviously I think that's because they're coming down rather than we're going up, judging by the tone of the tweet. Tom Bramley said we're less likely to go up. Three forwards out, one being our top scorer and one average journeyman forward in. You can see we're struggling to score with one in our last three matches. The last few games have really showed how reliant we are on Lyle. The sooner he's back, the better. Obviously, when Taylor does come back, he's only two bookings away from a two-game ban as well, which is could be another a further two games that we'll be missing him for again, which we could do without. Cliff Scale says Lyle was always going to be a big miss, but we can't keep relying on him. I already read that out, didn't I? We have some of the best midfielders in this league, and they should start chipping in with goals, as he said earlier. Right, Mark Anderson's pointing out that a couple of weeks ago he sent over a photo, and we had to pass it to Terry because we weren't sure who it was. It's slightly before our time, but Terry guessed it was Dave Shipley, but it looks like it was actually Steve Thompson. So yeah, Terry got some Charlton trivia wrong there, which is unfortunate. Cliff saying, I think the same in terms of our promotion chances, although we were hoping for the top two. Realistically, we were always going to be in the playoffs, and we still will, which hopefully we will be. Connor Thompson, answering the same question, said our chances are still the same. I think once Parker is settled in with the assistance of Cullen, Williams and Taylor, he will be banging in the goals. I mean, that is the thing. Like, you come from a Gillingham team that, you know, aren't as good as Charlton, if we're being honest. Mm. You know, and there are plenty of creative players. And in terms of a striker, you often say, you know, it's the service as well that makes him a good player. And if we can keep creating chances for him, and he can get a couple in his first five games or so, that might just give him the confidence to go on and have a good second half of the season.
Yeah, it could do. I mean, he's got, what I think his goal scoring ratio is like one in every six games, but if we look at that, I don't think Jan Kermigan had a good scoring ratio either. So, but yeah, I think it's because he wasn't someone who we were expecting. He's probably not as good as Grant. I think we're being a bit too down. But yeah, like you say, if he gets an early, if he scores, let's say he gets an early goal against Southend on Saturday, that he could change, you know, and playing with better players. And as a striker, if you look behind you and you've got Reeves and Cullen and Johnny Williams behind you, and you're struggling to fashion chances, then you've got something wrong with you, haven't you? Because they will put it on a plate for you. And even when Taylor comes back, the amount of assists that Lyle's got this year, so he will get chances. And yeah, he's going to be playing with better players than Gillingham. And let's hope he can get the ball rolling. But I think he needs an early goal. That's what I think he needs. And then it should, in theory, give him loads of confidence.
David Letchford says that our chances of promotion are simply less. Lucky that we have not replaced the players that have gone with better quality. Apart from Williams, I believe we are a much weaker team. We have become a man-on-man team, I think. It's showing that we can't do well with Taylor out. Vital Charlton, a totally heartless performance yesterday. There was no attacking threat. We looked weak from the start and I could not see us scoring the entire game. We were lucky only to concede one game. Right, Mark Anderson, here's a question. Can the doubters et al. Give it at least 5 minutes after a defeat before they start stirring? We're having a blast. I mean, everyone gets frustrated after a defeat, and some people get frustrated to see other people's frustration. That's something I always try and stay off social media after a game. But I think people are well within their rights to ask questions after the January transfer window, Mark. After, you know, we enjoyed the first half of the season, and if we haven't, time will tell, but if we haven't replaced a big part of our team with enough, then it will have been such a big waste of the first half of the season. And I don't think many people were surprised by that performance yesterday, considering the constraints on the squad. So, you know, my advice to Mark is, if you find it annoying reading what people say after a game, do what Nathan does and do not look at Twitter for a few days.
Yeah, no, that's what I've done yesterday, because I knew exactly what it was going to happen yesterday. I knew, cause even if we lose a game, it happens, but I knew everyone was going to blow it out of proportion. I thought, well, I'll swerve this one.
Yeah.
And no, it works because you don't get involved in it.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. On the train home yesterday, after typing up the Igor Vetticelli interview that you'll see in the press tomorrow, I was just watching videos on YouTube and stuff. So I don't need to talk about Charlton. Don't need to think about Charlton. I was just concentrating on my own little life there. Don't think about football. I've always said, don't think about football, then you can't worry about football. Right, David Nichols says, we're less likely to go up. Our rivals have strengthened whilst we're weakened ourselves up front. I hope Parker proves me wrong, mind, and that Igor is reborn as the player he was on arrival. So Igor got his spell yesterday. I mean, it's been 4 years probably since he's really been in the sort of form that we need from a striker.
Yeah, he seems to be sort of made of glass as well, doesn't he? He gets injured quite a lot. And I don't know, because he can't get a decent run in the team for his injuries, he doesn't really get the opportunity to rediscover that form that he had when he first came in. But I don't know. I'd love it if, I mean, obviously we all would, if he managed to rediscover his early form when he first came here. But, you know, I just can't see it, unfortunately. I just can't see Igor ever getting back to the way he was.
He got a few goals out for St Truden. Was it last season he was out there? And which wasn't awful, his record there. But obviously it's a different level of football, I guess you'd argue. What did he get? He got 12... is that right? No, so he got 7 goals last season for St Truden. So he does still know where the back of the net is. We just need to see him finding it a bit more often. Bob Liscombe said this on Thursday as well, and he got a good reception. Said, Darren Bent, anyone? Obviously still sitting around, just retired, I think, at the moment. But apparently he said on Sky Sports News that his phone was in his pocket if anyone wanted to try and sign him. Charlton Exile, gutted. I'm trying to be optimistic, but it's hard. But the guys on the pitch need our support, so at least do our part. And I'm sure the supporters will still do their part as much as they can. Right, Simon Lambert says, we're less likely to go up. Splitting up our best striking partnership for years is promotion suicide. Not giving Bowes the tools he needs to do his job in the transfer window is typical of where we are as a club under Roland du Châtelet. Right, John Skinner says, whilst rivals are strengthening, we sold our top scorer. Our squad is overall weaker after the window. For the third January window in a row, a key player is sold and not replaced. Nothing will change until Roland sells. Sadly, that won't be any time soon. Sebo says, even with double socks yesterday, I could barely feel my toes. And when they scored and played Captain Pugwash, then tapped my feet to dance to its fast beat to warm up my toes and feet, because I would have looked a complete and total muppet. Well, yeah, I guess if you had started dancing on when we just conceded, maybe. But
Especially if you did the worm to it.
Yeah, yeah. If you start doing a worm when we conceded goal, Sebo, then everyone will start to question if you're real Charlton. And if it gets to that level, then the club's just dead. Right, Bob Liscombe, any takeover news? He said he's bored with transfer talk. Well, Richard, we had Richard Corley on the phone on Thursday, and he said there was nothing that he knew of that was any close. Spenny saying no Taylor, no BFG, then we've got no hope. I hope that won't be the case, but yeah, we will have to do without both of those against Southend next Saturday. Bob Liscombe, we have too many similar midfield players. No good old-fashioned wingers, just fullbacks we can ask to bomb forward. We need a Callum Harriott, a Sean Newton type player to put balls in the box to players like Rico Hackett, Fairchild. It's funny, actually, Mark Marshall yesterday. I mean, he had that good time, that good spell, didn't he, just before Christmas? We haven't really seen much of him since then, but now something weird happened with Marshall yesterday. I'm still not entirely sure what it was, because I didn't see it at all, even though, judging by what I've read, it must have happened about 30 yards to my left. But apparently he got into a bit of an altercation or an argument with someone in the crowd. So I don't know if anyone could tweet us or email us to enlighten us on what happened there. I don't even know if it was in the Charlton end or the home end. But if anyone saw it, who was there at the game yesterday, let us know, because interesting. Someone did mention it after the game to me, but where they were sat as well, neither of us could work out where it happened or who it was involved with as well. Right, Sebo again. It wasn't the most entertaining game yesterday, but it looks Bowyer had fallen asleep in that picture. Yeah, if you tweet, there's a funny photo that Carl took yesterday where Bowyer's, again, because it's so bright, it's just shutting his eyes to try and not go blind. But there we go. Right, London Geezer said he was loving the Parker interview already. Top scorer going by that interview. Oh, sorry, top geezer going by that interview. He wants to be here. Carl and Grant didn't. Yeah, Carl actually gone, didn't he, yesterday for Huddersfield away at Chelsea. Made about 20 minutes, I think, but they lost 5-0, so probably not the easiest game to go into. Matt Broad saying that he agreed with Connor that the players in the midfield helped to make Carlin look good. So we do hope that was the case, and they can do the same for Josh Parker as well as he settles into his Charlton career. Right, we'll have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we've still got loads of messages on the emails about the transfer window dealings at the club in January. She loved looking at us, and she don't need no one.
Williams exchange passes. Williams drifts past his man, ball in the box. It's an awkward one. Taylor controls. Taylor trying to pass it back to Prattley. He strikes!
Oh, my word!
Darren Prattley! What a strike from the Charlton midfielder on the edge of the box. Touchdown by Lyle Taylor. And Darren Prattley unleashes a hell of a strike past Arnold down to his left. Could do nothing about that one.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening, coming to you live from the Valley. 15 minutes left of this evening's show. Looking back at yesterday's 1-0 defeat at Fleetwood Town, and of course discussing our January transfer window business, because plenty of people have wanted to have their say on that, and we're doing that here in the studio. It's Louis Mendes, Nathan Muller and Lewis Catt. Taking you through to 8:30 here on Maritime Radio. Now, we've got a few emails. The first one came in from Richard Church. He says, morale is obviously very low, supporters and players alike. Bowyer has been great so far, and now it's time for him to lift everyone. I hope he's up to the job, and I hope he has someone to support him in this, because it can be lonely at the top. And now, of course, like, we are still sort of reeling in some cases from the January transfer window, but it is important what happens now, because, I mean, it's done. As Bowie would say himself, it is what it is. He knows what he's got to work with now for the rest of the season. And he has done it last season. He came in and took over a team that was very low on morale and not doing very well, and he got him into the playoffs. So, you know, once we've had this little wobble and this little couple of days of everyone walking around with their hands in their pockets and their head staring at the floor, you know, we do have to pick up and try and go for the rest of the season. And it's up to Bowes and Jacko and Steve Gallen now around the training ground to sort that out.
Exactly, but I think if there's anyone that can motivate them, it is Lee Bowyer. You know, he's been fantastic, hasn't he, since he's taken over. And like, as you said, on last season, managed to get us into the top six, and I don't think any of us thought that was possible at this point last year. So, yeah, I trust him, and I trust Steve Gallen, and I trust Johnny Jackson. So, yeah, bad result yesterday, but I don't want to dwell on it too much, and just see how we get on next week. I mean, it'll all change next week if we beat Southend, won't it? So that's, you know, the mood will completely swing.
Yeah. Right, London Innit Geezer says that he's London Innit Geezer Jr. was there yesterday. He said that a Charlton fan it was that shouted something at Mark Marshall, and Marshall answered back, and the fan got thrown out. So there you go. It'd be interesting to see. Not nice to see a fan, getting involved like that. But hopefully it was nothing too serious. An unusual situation anyway. And Mark Newbury, evening, folks. My sympathies for having to try and polish that turd. That was our performance yesterday. if anyone could do it, though. Nathan, are you asleep there?
I was just thinking about the Marshall thing. I was wondering what it'd be.
You look like Lee Bowyer in that picture, right? Not surprised that we failed to improve the squad on transfer day. Not with this owner. I feel sorry for Bowyer doing his best with his hands tied in Belgium. We have such a great option in midfield, but the lack of strikers is a worry, especially if Lyle gets crocked. I don't know enough about our new guy, but the fact he warmed the bench means he probably wasn't even second, third or fourth choice. It's the equivalent of going out on Christmas Eve and panic buying a gift. And it's a Lynx gift set of a player. have to settle for playoffs, and I hope it's kind to us this time. Right, Paul Edwards emails in. An excellent photographer. He does stuff for the South London Press. I assume it's the same one.
Smile like you mean it.
Yeah, it might just be a different Paul Edwards. That'd be funny. You assume it's the same one.
Yeah. He's had the entire pictures, mate.
Is that older me?
I've watched Taylor play for AFC. It's not the most uncommon name, is it, really?
Could John be anyone. Smith or something. John Smith.
Good old John Smith.
Yeah. I'm going to give everyone now a job. Coming up after Paul, we're going to hear from Phil, who's a carpenter, and James Madison, who I understand is a professional boxer.
Wine taster.
Yeah. James Madison play for Leicester early on this afternoon? It's probably the same guy. Right, Paul Edwards, the potential photographer. I just watched Taylor play for AFC. Yeah, it is him. Yeah. I should have read the first line.
Got there in the end.
I should have read the first line because he also takes photos down at Wimbledon. I watched Taylor play for AFC Wimbledon for 3 years before joining Charlton. And it's no coincidence, unless there's another photographer called Paul Edwards, who also... massive coincidence if it is. Well, I'm glad we got to the bottom of that. Hope you're well, Paul. Good to see you anyway. I watched Taylor play for Wimbledon for 3 years before joining Charlton. It's no coincidence that the Dons are now struggling without him. I'm not saying we're a one-man team, but Taylor is integral to our success. I believe overall the transfers are positive. A solid left-back in Ben Purrington, a great midfielder in Johnny Williams, and another attacking option in Parker. Losing Grant wasn't great, as he had formed a good partnership with Taylor, but Taylor always brings out the best from his strike partner, hence why Tom Elliott ended up going to a championship side joining Millwall. That's a downgrade, in my opinion. Get something from the South End game and then watch with Igor, Parker, or Rico Hackett-Fairchild start knocking the goals in next to Taylor. It's too late for an automatic spot now, though, but no reason we couldn't be favourites in the playoffs. Great show as usual. That's from Paul Edwards, the photographer. Cheers for that, Paul. That's what we're hoping now, is that Taylor will wrestle the best out, because he will bring other players. He's held up players so good, Lyle Taylor. He does create chances. He does allow the midfield to get in and around the area as well, and he will help to create more chances for whoever it is who starts. I'll talk with him, assuming it's probably going to be Josh Parker.
Yeah, I think so. He does. His all-round game is good. He's an all-round forward. He scores goals. He brings others into play. And even like Igor at Luton away, I think it is. I thought them two looked quite good. I thought they held up the ball well. But when you've got someone Lyle in your team, he's so good in what he does, and he's so clever. He will bring chances to others, like you say. And the quicker he gets back, the better. And so you don't miss him as much, obviously.
I had a DM actually from the German Addicts during the week, and I said I'd read it out on tonight's show. You said, "Hi Louis, I honestly can't understand why everyone is complaining about Boya's transfers. We might have signed another Ajoze, but Boya made an Ajoze look good, for example, against Portsmouth. Boya had no other choice because of the limited money and he needed to improvise. Many fans said the transfer window was poor, but we signed Johnny Williams and it's the best transfer we have made in the last few years. We can gain promotion when we work as a unit. We somehow won with over 10 players injured, so nothing's impossible with Boya. Boya needs backing, not complaints. He is the right manager for us. Come on, you Reds. Greetings from Germany." So great to hear someone from the guys from Germany get involved. Thanks for your message as well. Right, we had a DM from Phil as well, which I'm going to hop on to now. "Hi guys, Phil the Carpenter.
I was going to say, where's it? What's he doing?
Yeah, the German addict actually works in a bar, just serving pints. He wears all the lederhosen.
I thought you were going to say he was like a bratwurst maker or something.
Sausage maker.
Hi guys, Phil says, utterly predictable result today. Transfer deadline day was a disaster. Whilst I wish Josh Parker well, and I hope he proves me wrong, a third choice striker from Gillingham says all we need to know about how much Du Châtelet cares about our football club. It's embarrassing. I hear the cries of support the team, not the regime. However, I don't want to do either right now. We're a laughing stock with no direction and a delusional owner. And that's from Phil there. I mean, I can understand why Josh Parker's arrival didn't exactly set the juices flowing for a lot of people. He wasn't playing a great amount at Gillingham, but also, you know, his goal record's not the best. So I understand it fully, and if I'm being totally honest, that was how I felt as well. I was hoping he was going to be back up to someone else coming in, but he's here now. And Steve Gallen has always had a decent eye for a player, so he must know there's something about this lad, having worked with him 10 years ago.
Well, exactly. I mean, you've only got to take on who Gallen's brought in so far. And, you know, we've been happy with every single one of the signings this year, really. And I'd like to, you know, obviously we'll want to get behind him, and I want him to do well because it's in our interest that he does. But I think it's just that more the feeling of frustration and being underwhelmed with how the transfer window panned out. You know, he could turn out to be great. You know, we've had it before with Jan Kermigan when he came in. We didn't know who he was, really. Leicester fans were slating him left, right and centre for the penalty that he missed in their playoffs. And he came to us and he turned into a cult hero. And I'm not saying that Parker will have the same impact, but there's no reason to say that he won't if he turns out to be a half-decent player. It's proven Lyle has got the best out of Carlin Grant previously, and it was good before what Phil said about AFC Wimbledon and Tom Elliott, you know, him performing under Lyle as well. So he's obviously got a knack for getting the best out of people, and if that works for us with Josh Parker, then great.
Excellent stuff. Now, this is from James Maddison, the Leicester City footballer. He has released a rallying cry to the Charlton Athletic FC Brotherhood. He sent this on Friday morning. He said, "It's 6 a.m. after another disappointing deadline day under the villainous Roland. I find myself bleary-eyed after another sleepless night contemplating the plight of my beloved football club. It's clear to me, as it should be to all Charlton fans, that the man at the helm of our precious football club is on a vindictive rampage of destruction, trying to rape and pillage our club of all assets, success and pride before he casts us aside like the bones of an animal that has been stripped bare of any goodness. This man doesn't care if he loses money because of our club. His main goal now is to destroy the thing we love whilst earning what he can from the club in revenge for public embarrassment our fans have caused him over his tenure. So it would appear that we, my friends, are in another fight for survival, something that's been a constant throughout the history of our great club. I would urge all Charlton fans to stand up and again join this fight for our great club. It isn't easy because our support could in turn give the thing that would destroy us more of that which he covets, money. But the most important thing is the survival of this club. And with the position the man has placed us in, we need to do all we can to help our boys secure promotion to safeguard any chance of a future and indeed a team next season with a flood of players due to leave. So I urge all that feel able to support the boys to go to all games possible, make the Valley and every away end a fortress that our brave boys can feed off when the going gets tough. If you are boycotting the Valley, an action I respect, you can still go to away games, you can still go to Belgium and make Roland's life a misery in an attempt to make him lower his unrealistic asking price, and you can still use all the social media outlets to encourage our brave boys, led by the fearless leaders Bowyer, Jackson and Gallen, with positive support and encouragement. We're all joined by our love of this unique football club. We're all in this fight together. People always tell me about the great football clubs and the great ethos that define them. Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Manchester United. We have a tradition and a history that rivals, if not exceeds, any of them. None of them formed a political party to get their team home after 7 years of exile. None of them had a string of owners that tried to bleed them dry throughout their history and still became the most successful club with the most top flight years and the most major honours in their corner of their city. Our beautiful club is special, and we, the fans of the club, are what make it so. This club was built on people becoming greater than the sum of their parts by pulling together and fighting for one another. I ask all fans to stand up and do that again. So let's fill those grounds and sing like we have never sung before, loud and proud. Let's get over to Belgium and make the architect of our attempted doom realise that he has messed with the wrong club. He needs to go, and let's end any negativity on social media aimed at each other, the players and the staff, and push our brave boys over the line to promotion with positive fire that this club was forged in. Together, we can create another special miracle in the pages of history of this football club. And that's Up the Addicts from James Maddy Mads Madison. And that was some strong words there from Mads, urging everyone to try and stick together, because I know we've had people sort of saying, moaning at other fans, and that's never been the right thing to do, really. And Mads there saying to always try and aim your fury at the right people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're all Charlton fans at the end of the day, and as frustrated as it get, and you know, opinions may be divided, I'm sure there'll be people that will be down here, you know, at the Valley every other Saturday cheering the team on, and there'll be somebody that can't bring themselves to come here because they don't want to give the money over to Châtelet. But people are entitled to how they want to support the club, and at the end of the day, as I said, we're all Charlton, we all want the same thing, and you know, we're not the people that are in the wrong. We all know who that is, so yeah. Aim it at them.
And London Air Geezer just saying that, are Tom Wallin and Lewis Cat the same person? Their voices are uncannily similar over the waves. I never noticed that before, to be fair.
Tom's Welsh, isn't he?
Yeah, who knows? Right, just a quick one as well from Chris Davin. He wanted to point out that Lewis Smith, a Charlton fan, is having his third pro boxing fight on the 9th of March. The Brentford Leisure Centre, the 9th of March. Charlton fan Lewis Smith is boxing his third pro match. So if anyone wants to get over there and watch him, I know absolutely nothing about boxing. But if anyone does enjoy boxing, get along and support a Charlton boy in Lewis Smith who's fighting for the third time. Right, we've actually just about come to the end of tonight's show. It's in a way, it's sort of flown by, but it's of course because you guys have sent us all your opinions on the game yesterday and the transfer window, the difficult transfer window, and some opinions, the okay transfer window, in some other opinions that we've had in January as well. So thanks to all of you for getting involved and helping us through tonight's show on Charlton. I've always more difficult after a defeat, but I'm glad that you guys are all here to talk about it with us. Right, Sebo saying well said to James Madison as well. So well done, Mads. Right, Lewis. And Nath, thanks for coming in.
No worries, mate.
And thanks to all of you for listening to Charlton Live. We'll be back here on Thursday evening to look ahead to next Saturday's home game with Southend United. So be back here at 7 o'clock or via the podcast on Thursday, the big match preview. Look forward to it. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening to the entire show. And we shall see you back here on Thursday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.